Today, President Trump announced that his administration will suspend evictions and foreclosures, and the border between the U.S. and Canada will close by mutual decision. Vice President Mike Pence said elective surgery should be postponed across the country, and doctors will be able to practice across state lines. Meanwhile, Bernie Sanders is reportedly assessing the state of his presidential bid after losing all three primaries held yesterday. Let's get to as much as we can with our political strategist. This week, Alice Stewart, the Republican. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Robin.
She's there at the NPR studios in D.C. Bill Press is on his phone because, Bill, we don't want you sitting too close to each other. And Bill Press, the Democrat, welcome to you as well.
Hi, Robin. We are social distancing
here. That's right, which we are demanding. Look, much has been made of the president's change in tone over the past few weeks, from saying this COVID-19 will go away to declaring the national emergency. I don't want to spend a lot of time finger pointing, but Alice, voters might. So just take this one first. The new NPR, PBS NewsHour, and Marist poll shows Republicans are far less likely to see COVID-19 as real. A majority say it's blown out of proportion. Now, President Trump just days ago used the word hoax. A Fox Business News anchor was demoted for saying this was just an attempt to impeach the president. There's Rush Limbaugh, who's been saying this isn't real. And here's Fox News' Sean Hannity last week.
They're scaring the living hell out of people, and I see it again as like, oh, let's bludgeon Trump with this new hoax.
This new hoax. Now, Sean Hannity has changed his tune this week. Reporting has it that Fox's Tucker Carlson begged the president to change his. But is it too late? Will voters view him as the guy who didn't get it?
I don't see Republicans doing so much, but on the Democratic side, clearly that is making an impact. Look, I don't want to point fingers any more than you do. Mm-hmm. I do think it is important to note there has been a tone change. There's been a drastic change in how people are viewing this. And the evolution with regard to the coronavirus is something that we will continue to see. And it starts at the top. Yes, this president might have been a little slow out of the gate in initially responding to it. But look at what he has done just in the last 24 hours, Robin. It is really astounding. And a lot of it starts with his tone. But what he has actually done with regard to certainly shutting down the border and the announcement to invoke the Defense Production Act to expand production on masks and other vital equipment is important. Sending in the Navy hospital ship to the New York Harbor and already announcing that he will be fully supportive of legislation that House and Senate members put forth with regard to aid for emergency workers, as well as providing more testing, free testing for all Americans. So this is more than just a change of tone, but the change of action will really send a resounding signal to Republicans and I think a lot of Democrats
as well. I'm just going to jump in to say before, Bill, you step up here, but the Defense Production Act, that was just announced at the task force briefing. This enables the government to tell companies you have to make these things. But, Bill, respond to this. All of these things that Alice outlined, he has done this week.
He has. But I must tell you, first of all, miracles do happen, as the president promised. And I think it is almost a miracle that Donald Trump is finally taking coronavirus seriously, which all of us should be grateful for and give him credit for. But I was in the Rose Garden Friday when the president said, we're in total control of this, basically. Why should I be tested? There's no problem. You know, this is all going to disappear. I was there Sunday when he said the same thing. Fortunately, by Tuesday, thanks to some British scientists and his own team there, they said, Mr. President, this is serious, and you've got to take a different tone on this. And he has. The steps that have been taken since, the emergency declaration saying no more than 10 people should get together, closing the borders with Canada, stepping up, let's hope, the production and the availability of tests, that is all very good, and we salute it. I think it's unfortunate that the United States, we lost basically 2 months because Donald Trump was not willing to take it seriously until 2 days ago.
Well, and
now that we're on the right track, let's keep going, and let's hope this thing is behind us very, very soon.
But we're heading
By the way,
into...
If I just add one quick thing, calling it the Chinese virus doesn't help.
Well,
I mean,
the president was asked today, Alice, if, you know, that was offensive to people or racist, calling it the Chinese virus. A lot of his backers were, you know, saying this early on as if to say it's somebody else's fault. It has nothing to do with us. You know, is that going to hurt him?
Robin, I'm not concerned at what this president calls this. as to what he does about it. And that's what we need to focus on. It is really irrelevant as to the wording that he uses to describe this. I am more concerned, and Americans should be more concerned. Everyone across the globe should be more concerned at what the United States of America is doing about this, as opposed to what he is calling it. I think too much of time and attention is put on that, as well as what hasn't been done. And let's focus on what he's doing in the future.
Now, I have to respectfully disagree, and I take your word, Alice, that the tone comes from the top. And when the president calls it the Chinese virus, it does indicate to a lot of people, this ain't our problem. This is brought on us by the Chinese. We don't have to really worry about it because it started somewhere else and it's their fault and boom, boom, boom. No, this is not the Chinese virus. This is New York's virus. It's Washington, D.C.'s virus. It's the American virus. It's all of the it's the globe's virus, and we all ought to be united in getting on top of it, flattening the curve, as Anthony Fauci says, and putting this behind
us. But, Bill, how do we do that? Excuse me, Alice, but how do we do that heading into an election? Trump is more serious in his tone, if Democrats bring up that, as we are going to hear a disease expert say, we lost the 2 months and how critical that was and what that's done. If Democrats bring that up, do they risk looking like they're the ones not pulling together? I just want to listen to New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Mm-hmm. No love lost between the Cuomos and the Trumps. But here he is, the governor, on Rachel Maddow on MSNBC.
We've had significant differences. There is no doubt about that. But I had a very good conversation with the president where I said, look, forget Democrat, Republican. We're Americans, and we're talking about life and death.
Isn't that the tone Democrats have to take, even if they may want to point out how the early delay really has hurt us so much?
Well, I have to say, it is a legitimate issue to talk about how well a president did in responding to a crisis. George W. Bush got huge high marks, deservedly so, after 9/11, not so much after Katrina. Barack Obama was slammed after the invasion of the whole thing with Lebanon and the Asian Spring, so-called. So that's a legitimate issue. But I have to tell you, I don't care whether this helps Donald Trump or I don't care if it helps Joe Biden. I think we all have to just care about getting on top of this virus and putting it behind us and not deal with the politics right now. And I must say, the governor or the president has reached out and to working with governors like Governor Cuomo. Again, no love lost. Same thing with Gavin Newsom in California and other Larry Hogan in Maryland. So I think you're seeing a partnership here, which is very welcome.
I want to talk. Oh, go ahead.
Rob, if I may say, Governor Cuomo has done an outstanding job of leadership in this time of crisis and communicating with the people and providing valuable information. Listening to his news conferences, it is encouraging to hear the press corps ask valid, important questions about what they are doing, what people should do, and how to make people safe and provide testing for the people. He's done a tremendous job. And also, where it needed to be, he called out the federal government for not taking action where needed, but he has also provided praise. And I am encouraged by what we're seeing in Washington. We see Nancy Pelosi and the Trump administration working together for the House bill, and we see Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer working together in the Senate to provide meaningful legislation on this. And I think kudos goes to members of Congress who are putting partisanship aside and getting things done.
And just briefly, I have to say, since you mentioned Cuomo, yes, that's many people would view it that way. And yet then President Trump tweeted out a negative tweet about Cuomo and called his brother, Chris Cuomo from CNN, Fredo, which many people saw as an Italian slur, you know, something from The Godfather. So there seems to be this, you know, these little droplets that come in through the tweets or misspeaking at press conferences. Would you rather see Donald Trump take more of a back seat and let the scientists take this over?
I absolutely wish those little droplets would completely fall off the radar.
Yeah,
he has done a good job of letting the scientists and the doctors put forth the valuable information. The coronavirus task force led by Vice President Pence has been very helpful in getting the scientific and medical information out to the community, and that's important.
And I just have to ask, Bill, I have to ask you one last thing.
Yeah,
I'm sorry,
sure.
Looking at 2020, Joe Biden winning big everywhere. He asked in a live cast from his home last night for Sanders voters to come with him. what do you think is going to happen here? How long can Sanders go on?
Well, first of all, there's an uncertainty facing all of us about the impact of the coronavirus on the timing of the next primary.
Whether she'd even be campaigning in a presidential
election. Whether they
election.
Should be campaigning, whether they will be able to campaign, and whether all future primaries will have to be by absentee ballot or mail ballot. So that cloud hangs over everything. But you just have to say, look, three Super Tuesdays in a row for Joe Biden, 10 out of 14 on the first Super Tuesday, 5 out of 6 states on the second one, and 3 out of 3 last night. Mathematically, it's almost impossible for Bernie Sanders to win the nomination. But I think he will continue. He's assessing right now. I think he will continue in order to talk about his ideas and in order to keep his movement alive. And I don't see any pressure from Joe Biden to try to get him out of the race either. Right. Let it continue until there's convention.
But you're right. There may not even be conventions. It might be at the height of the outbreak. We'll see.
True.
Bill Press, the Democratic strategist, Alice Stewart, the Republican. Thank you both, and stay well, both of you.
Thank you, Robin.
Thanks,
be
Robin.
Safe.
Thanks, Alice.
Take care.
Bill.
It's here and now.